The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and many thanks for joining me for today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood. I'm the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited. And Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, today I'm very pleased to bring you the third of the three-segment discussion that I enjoyed with Dr. Morgan Williams, who was the former Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment. We've already talked about flooding and we've talked about forestry. This time we're jumping into the wholesale electricity market and how it's not serving the people of New Zealand at all well. I do hope you get a lot out of Morgan's wisdom in this important field. At the start of this series of discussions, I mentioned a catalyst for the focus on flooding being a conversation you and I had in January. However, over another coffee at the start of March, the wholesale electricity market came into focus for us. You had a long-term interest in the field and had just received a hard-hitting piece by Bryce Edwards. At the same time, although you didn't know it when you raised it, I was in the middle of an article on future energy security challenges. So I'm hoping we can dive into that. There's a substantial weight of opinion pointing to deep structural issues with New Zealand's wholesale electricity market. For listeners not that familiar with that structure, can we please start by outlining the nature of that market and how it fits into this context?
Yeah, well, just a little bit of background of my interest in this market. When I was commissioner, there was an act went through Parliament that empowered both the Auditor General and myself as Parliamentary Commission for the Environment to look at the electricity industry through both a fiscal lens and an environmental or use of the asset lens. So I got pretty deeply involved in the entire structure, and I'm now talking about 2001-2004 period of the electricity industry as it is today, and also what was going on in various generation sections and sectors and so on. So where it's at from looking in today, you've essentially got what's called three major gentailers. These are three major companies, or four, sorry, in fact, three owned by the Crown, majority owned, and one private. And the gentailers, as they're called, are both generators of electricity and also retail electricity. So they command the whole market from where it's generated in a hydro station or a geothermal or wind farm or even solar farm now, or even a coal-fired power station. They generate it and they sell it. So it's what's called total market control in a way. So the thing that's sitting outside that, though, is the Transpower. That's the main grid that runs the length and breadth of New Zealand, and that connects all the different power companies who deliver it to your door. And there's quite a large number of those, the local distribution companies. Many of them are actually trusts. So that's the basic architecture we've got.
Thank you for that, Morgan. It's great to have that context for the rest of our discussion on the electricity market. If we go back to Bryce Edwards' article, key dots that he joined were the monopolistic position of the big gentailers, relentless price increases being dumped on a public already sweating the cost of living, and the conflicted and ineffectual stances of almost all the key political players. Do you feel Edwards paints a realistic picture of this? And if so, what sort of strategic remedy do you feel should be targeted?
Well, the simple answer to that is, and he's not the only one that's putting the dots together, is yes, that's in fact a pretty accurate picture. And it's been growing in terms of clarity for some time now. And the general view seems to be as long as you've got three of the four big gentilers, which control roughly 80% of generation, as long as three of them are majority owned by the government, they are also very interested in the dividends, which have been published recently, which were very healthy. So there's not too much incentive to jeopardize that dividend stream. But the structure itself, when you unpick it, and it's beyond this interview to do that, it doesn't incentivize the oversupply of generation. And that becomes a critical issue. And it's one that I'd hark back to my time as commissioner. We looked extensively at wind power, which in fact New Zealand has a lot of potential for. And we worked actually with Meridian and some modelling that they were doing to try and determine how much wind power you could put into New Zealand's total grid and still maintain reasonable grid security, given that wind power is intermittent. And that work, in fact, said around 20% would be no problem at all. Currently, we have, still have, and this is over 20 years later, we have, I think, about 12% wind power. So there's a big source of, yes, it's intermittent, but another part of that puzzle is what do you do with that intermittency? Well, New Zealand's got over 60% of its generation in hydro, which in fact is a storage-based, as everybody knows, water. It's not big by hydro standards worldwide, but if you combine wind and hydro, which is what Meridian does with its own portfolio, when you've got lots of wind, you can actually store your water. And when you're short of wind, you can use your water. So your water storage, very simple terms, becomes a battery. There's a lot of scope for that in New Zealand. The structure, the way we broke up our national generator story, makes that very difficult. So the big challenge now is how you would restructure. And one of the arguments, in fact, to break up the retailer, generator retailer structure, and I think that's probably fundamental, and how you price it. There's a lot of debate about the spot market pricing process, which I'm not going to try and explain. But again, it does seem to be a daft system when you've got so little of New Zealand's generating capacity is expensive gas or coal. It in fact sets the price when it comes in. And just as an aside, as a long-time user of electric cars and EVs, I have a smart charger nowadays that allows me to look at any time across a 48-hour period the generating picture for the whole of New Zealand. Where did all our power come? How much came from hydro? How much came from wind, geothermal, and so on? And I'm absolutely intrigued that over the last couple of months, we've still been using a little bit of gas. And at the moment, there's both coal and gas, but 95% is coming from renewables. And we're just keep topping up with a bit of coal and gas. And that would have to be the most expensive. At the same time, the hydro dams and hydro system has been over 100% full since, I think, early December. I might not be right on the exact date, but they're certainly pretty full for this time of year. Doesn't look good.
Morgan, I have to say that the cynic in me thinks that it's not an accident that a little bit of the coal and gas generation is in there because it bumps the prices. Just want to jump sideways and actually read a short paragraph from Bryce Edwards' article, because it's exactly on this point. I'm quoting, "The wholesale market is structured so the most expensive generator sets the price in each half-hour period and pays all generators at that rate. That means cheap hydro generators get paid the same high rate as gas. Nice work if you can get it. as Duncan Garner put it in his podcast, when costs fall, profits surge. When risks rise, prices surge. Consumers lose either way. And isn't that, in a way, what might be happening at the moment?
That's exactly what I suspect must be going on. Why on earth, when you've got absolutely full hydro systems, in fact, to be fair to them, they've actually had to be spilling because you obviously got to put the water somewhere, but we're running coal.
It's a nonsense, isn't it? That segues nicely into a political dimension that I want to explore with you, Morgan. We're in an election year, and cost of living is already flagged as a pivotal issue. Given the close connection between domestic electricity prices and the cost of living, how would you like to see the electricity market feature in the debate ahead of the coming election?
Well, I actually think it's absolutely central to the cost of living, because New Zealand is increasingly, for good reasons, increasing its electricity use across both industry and domestic. And at the domestic level, with a very high use of heat pumps, we're moving with for very good reasons, to more heating from electricity. It's more efficient and so on. So it's a cost of living issue first and foremost. And it's actually in exactly the same space as our grocery bills and what's going on. In many ways, the whole supermarket debate around how they are managing or distorting pricing is the same. It's a market system that is advantageous to the suppliers, not advantageous to the customers.
Absolutely the case. And I guess the be interesting to see how we can get it out there. I agree with you. The message needs to be get out into the election discussions. Let's hope we can push the media on that a bit. Is there anything else to add, Morgan? We're drawing to a close now, and I've found it so interesting. I could go on for hours, but we better find a way of finishing. What would you like to throw in? Is there anything else?
Well, I mean, I think every now and again in the history of political actions and processes, you see something that is just what I would call absolutely outrageous. And the most outrageous piece of policy and apparently aim to happen event is the building of a natural gas terminal in New Zealand at vast cost. To increase the security, is the words I think used, of our energy system in New Zealand. Well, that's really great, because that then requires us to rely on the security of supply in the rest of the world. Doesn't look very good when at the moment the biggest LNG terminal in the Gulf has just been blown to pieces, as far as I can read last night. So if that's the sort of security we're looking for, God help us. But the more important thing is that we're going to spend a vast amount of capital when, in fact, if you looked at the options in New Zealand to both secure our limited gas supply by the METEX plant, if I've got the word right, in Taranaki might be a much cheaper option than what we're doing, since they use, I think, about 40% of the available gas at the moment. But there's also, from a generation point of view, vastly more scope in both wind, solar, and geothermal, which all would be a much better investment than the sums they're talking about for an LNG terminal. And by the way, where does that fit in with our climate policy?
Exactly. I'm on record as saying it just seems to cement our addiction to fossil fuels, and that's hardly a fitting with a good climate policy, is it? Well, Morgan, it just comes to me to thank you so much for sharing your time and your terrific wide covering insights into the things we've discussed. And I can have a discussion another time. I'm sure we won't be short of issues.
Thank you. Great fun. Can we shift the system? That's always my question. And the older you get, the more optimistic you get.
Well, I hope listeners take note of that comment, because all you listeners are part of shifting the system as well. Well, as well as sharing his considerable knowledge with us, I think Morgan was putting out a clarion call there to say, hey, this should be an election issue. This is really important. It's very closely related to cost of living. It's also closely related to a long-standing injustice in the domestic supply of electricity. And it's also related closely to the ongoing difficulty we're having in getting off fossil fuels. So do take serious note of what Morgan has been outlining, and I hope it catalyzes some action from different listeners around the motu. Anyway, that's it for this week, and thank you again for joining me for this episode of Climate Matters. Of course, I hope I enjoy your company again next week, and as always, kia kaha for the climate. You're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.